This is episode 392 of the 200 Churches podcast.
Live streaming can be good, but you're essentially giving people online exactly what you give people who are in the building. And it doesn't translate the same way. And so we decided kind of from the beginning, partly because we weren't able to live stream, that we would record everything separately. Now we have all the equipment. We could do a live stream and we have decided against it.
Welcome to the 200 Churches podcast, where every Wednesday we produce a legit episode of ministry encouragement for pastors of small churches. Now, here are two guys who have been encouraging thousands of pastors all around the world, good friends, pastors, and podcast partners, Jeff and Johnny.
This is the 200 Churches podcast. My name is Jeff Cady. I'm here today with my good friend, Chuck Fenwick. I say good, but we've really only known each other for about an hour, so how good could it be for him anyway? So Chuck is the pastor of the New Haven United Methodist Church in New Haven, Indiana. He has been doing some interesting stuff at his church, at his 200 church. And so I asked him to be on the podcast to talk about that, and we have a great conversation around some very practical ministry ideas, practices, and methods. And we talk specifically about sermon prep and sermon delivery, and especially sermon delivery as it relates to digital ministry, online ministry. And we talk about his approach to that, which was really exciting for me to hear. A church of 200 doing what they're doing is pretty inspiring. And what it tells me is that you, no matter who you are, if you're listening to me, you've got enough technology to be able to be a little bit more innovative than you are, as do I, to continue to innovate and continue to use what God has given us to serve him and to serve his church. So Chuck Fenwick joins me today. I want to get right to his conversation, and then I'll talk to you when it's over. Chuck Fenwick, welcome to the 200 Churches podcast. You're not only a new guest, you're a new listener.
Very true. Very true. So I appreciate you having me here, and I'm learning about it all as we're doing this, so which is great.
You're such a new listener. You haven't even listened to your first episode yet.
You're right. This will be the first one that I listen. Of course, I'm going to listen to me first. Who doesn't want to listen to themselves?
Well, hey, better late than never, Chuck.
Very true.
Welcome. I saw you in the Art of Leadership Academy, and I stalked you just a little bit, just enough to say, man, this guy would make a great guest on the 200 Churches podcast because
I appreciate
what you're
that.
Doing. Now, I'm guessing now. I'm going to be guessing on everything. So I've got a lot of questions for you because you and I have known each other all of about 5 minutes. So we're going to get
a quality 5 minutes.
That's right.
Very quality 5 minutes.
Quality time, right? Not quantity, yes. Quality. That's funny. So introduce yourself to me, to our listeners. Who are you? What is your claim to fame? And then tell us a little bit about your family and about your ministry.
I'm Chuck Fenwick. I went back to school kind of late. I started in ministry right away, and then I felt like maybe this isn't it, kind of ran away, and then decided, all right, I'm going to go back to seminary. So I went back to school to do that about 10, 15 years ago. And so I'm an ordained elder in the United Methodist Church in Indiana. The United Methodist Church is a little different. We're appointed. So we have a bishop and a cabinet that appoints all the pastors of their churches. And what's odd is this has been my, for 12 years, my first and only appointment. I was appointed as the associate pastor, and now I'm the lead pastor, which is also odd to move from one position to another. And to be appointed at the same church for 12 years is very odd in our structure anyway, but that's the way it's worked. And anytime they talk to me, I always just say, you know, I'll make it easy for you. Just leave me here and deal with your other churches. And so far it's worked, so I can't complain. But I am married with 4 kids, only one left in the house, and he's a senior. He's going to be a senior, so we're getting close. Getting really close. I'm excited about that. People talk about the empty nest thing, and I am ready to see what that is like. Just because. I don't know about a claim to fame. An idea of what's the best, what's the big thing for me. Oh, I do know one thing that I've done that not everybody has done, but this also shows my age. I shared the stage, opened as the drummer for the Newsboys several years ago. For people who know who that is, some people.
Whoa.
What I hate is I tell that story, and some of my like young staff, they're like, "Who? What?" And I'm like,
Supernatural, dude.
And it was at a youth conference, and so we opened with a couple of like just worship songs or whatever, and I played the drums, and Peter Furler gave me high five and said in my best Australian accent, "Good job." That's all I got. Oh. That's nice.
So you play the drums for the group?
Wouldn't that be neat? No. They came up. We opened for them, and then they came up and did their thing. So no, I was on the stage. I can say I shared the stage with them because we're on the stage at the same time. But nice. It was a very brief thing, but it was kind of cool. I was up in front of a lot of people, and my only big deal that's happened that, yeah. other than that, my life's pretty normal.
You and I are brothers from a different mother, I think, because I am just a year and a half into true empty nest syndrome, when number four has, you know, went off to get married and finish school, and he's out of the house. But he was in the house until he was about 22, minus about a year and a half there when he went off to school, and then they shipped him back during COVID, and I couldn't get rid of him then for another year.
Yep.
So yeah, it's a different season. But my season quickly got overlapped beginning 5 years ago with grandchildren, and now in the area within an hour of me, I've got 8 grandchildren. The empty nest really isn't very empty.
Yeah. I don't have any grandkids yet. And I'm thinking that may be happening, but we don't push. We're like, okay, when's that's this right. going to happen? But yeah, that's going to be when their time, when they're ready. So,
yep.
No grandkids right. yet.
And you going to get a master's degree late was also my MO. I went back at 47 for an MDiv after 23 years in ministry. And that was a lot of fun, kind of life-changing for me, really enjoyable. So tell us about your family, your kids, and how old they are, and where they're at, and all that.
Well, I have a son. My oldest is 26. He'll be 27 in just a few weeks. He lives in Indianapolis. My daughter, who is 23, gosh, what if I'm wrong on these ages? I always get their ages wrong. I don't know why. She lives in Wisconsin. During COVID, she was in Rome, as in Rome, Italy, right when COVID first happened. And Italy was like, oh my gosh, if you're in Italy, it was crazy. She got one of the last, at least Delta flights out of the city to come home. That was like pandemonium, calling her and waking her up in the middle of the night going, get your stuff together, get out.
Get out. Yeah,
you've got a ticket and you got to get out. My middle son is 19 and he lives close by. He lives, he has a house with a couple roommates, and then my youngest is 17. He'll be 18, this week. And, he will be a senior this coming year in high school.
Cool.
That's us. And we have 2 Siberian Huskies. They shed everywhere. That I'm really tired of dog hair. I will say that.
How old are they?
I can't even tell you the age of my kids. Think I know the age of the dogs?
Are they going to be on their way to euthanasia soon? Or
I wish. No, don't.
On a missions trip?
Did we record that when I said I wish? No, they're young. They're like maybe 4 or 5 years old. Not old at all.
Okay, so they got a lot of hair left.
Don't
to
they?
Go around.
Yeah, they've. Long time, long time.
Yeah. All better you than me. So you've been at your church for 12 years. How's it going? And what's the name of your church?
We're really original name. We're a United Methodist Church in New Haven, Indiana. So we are New Haven United Methodist Church. How perfect
Ooh,
is that?
Nice.
Right? And when I came here, I was the associate pastor. And so there were two pastors, and now I'm the only, well, and in the United Methodist Church is a little different than some churches, because in some churches you may hire someone to say work with youth and they become the youth quote pastor. Well, that's not, we don't do it that way. We call them directors, and it doesn't mean that they're not as significant, just we don't have given them the pastor role. So
yeah.
Right now we have just one pastor. It's me. Over the course of this time, especially I became the lead pastor, I believe 6 or 7 years ago, something like that. So we've changed our structure a lot with just having one pastor instead of two. And things I think are going well. During COVID, we decided, right before COVID, we decided we'd do a building project. We didn't build anything new. We did about almost $1 million renovation. And wow. We did it debt-free. So we raised all the money, did the project. In fact, we had our groundbreaking, which seems so odd. Here we are, we're breaking ground for this great new building on a building we weren't even allowed to be inside of during that time. We had to do everything outside. And I know we're not in the building, wow. but give a bunch of money so that we can make this building really neat. And somehow it worked. People did. They gave the money, and we did the project. And so it was great. Somehow
had they already made their commitments before COVID hit?
Some had already, but not all of them. And so the ones that made them, for the most part, came through. We had some extra, and even during COVID, people were coming through with everything. At one point, I was even thinking, all right, building projects are crazy anyway. I mean, to even consider doing one. But then to do one when you're in a global pandemic, to talk about, let's make our building even better when right now we're telling you you're not even allowed in the building, seemed really odd. And a part of me wanted to say, this is not a good time. We need to back out of this. But we were like, no, we're going to make this happen. And we did. And we finished it a little over a year ago, I do believe. So we had kind of started things before COVID. And that's when we measure everything anymore. I don't know about you, but everything
right.
was that pre-COVID or
so. Yep. Well, that's amazing that you did that. Now, I watched some of your messages online, and it looks like you've made an investment of a number of things into online church, basically digital ministry. So talk to me about that, because even a recent message, I think it was very recent that I was watching, I didn't know if there was anybody in the room, and you seemed to be real focused on the camera if there were people in the room. So tell me what you're doing.
Well, we decided early on we did not have the bandwidth to do live streaming. Lost my train of thought there.
Okay.
And I had heard in some different trainings with a lot of people, even Brady Shearer, if you know, from I think Pro yep. Church Tools maybe, and even Kerry Newhoff and things like talked about live streaming is can be good, but you're essentially you're giving people online exactly what you give people who are in the building. And it doesn't translate the same way. And so we decided kind of from the beginning, partly because we weren't able to live stream, that we would record everything separately. And now we have all the equipment. We could do a live stream, and we have decided against it. And part of that is because we want to focus on, when we do something online, we want to focus online. And we do open it up. Our recordings are on, we do them on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. And we open it, and we have a few people who attend. That's when they want to come to church. So they come for that. And it is only the message.
Funny.
There's no music. It's just, so there are a handful of people, sometimes zero, sometimes maybe even 10 people. So not a lot. And so the whole focus is, and we even tell them, and some of them are kind of regular, so they know, you know, I'm not addressing you necessarily. I'm looking through the camera at who I'm hoping is on the other side of that camera.
And listen, Chuck, you do a great job, man. When I was watching, I'm like, there's a likability factor with you that you draw me in. And so I mean, you're very comfortable. Maybe it's because I'm sure that part of it is the fact that you are speaking to the camera, to the person on the other side of the lens, as we've learned, right?
Mm-hmm. And
right, and that's what you're doing, and you're not speaking to the people in the room. So it's maybe that's the difference maker, because I felt like I felt real connected to you, and you seemed really comfortable, and you were focused. Not on the people in the room. So tell me more about that. So people they never get to hear your worship team or the worship happening. They'd actually have to come to the church to be a part of that.
Right. And part of that started because of just having enough volunteers to make it happen. And to record music is kind of hard. You may have all these instruments, but to get them recorded at the right level and to make mm-hmm. sure every piece sounds good, you're talking almost you need a studio of some kind. And we're not a very big church. It's not like we have a huge budget. We do our best, but at first we were doing that, and then just decided we have really good musicians. We have really good people. But to put it all together, it just wasn't working. And so we'll send out like here's a playlist of some songs. Like we may be using some of these songs in our worship on Sunday, but here, listen to, you know, Hillsong or whoever, they do this song. So listen to that if you want to. And so, yeah, you're not, it's not like you're in the room, and we've just kind of felt like that's okay, because we don't expect you to feel like you're in the room when you're not in the room. And if you want to be, that's fine. And we also don't treat it. There are times when we say, here's a little teaser. If you want, you know, we're going to do something that's specifically for people in the room. And so we may talk about that in a couple weeks. We're doing something, but our whole focus, and I feel like a lot of times, churches online, their whole focus is, I want to get you to come here. And I'd say part of the time that's a thing. We want you to be involved in that way. However, it's not a constant, you need to be here. It's how can we help you where you are from where we are in this avenue that we have, which is digital worship or whatever. And
so now I've got a question now. I've got a lot of questions, but when you record on a Wednesday, are you recording last Sunday's message or this coming Sunday's message?
This coming Sunday's.
Okay, so you're, in a sense, you're going through
it. We used to do that on Thursday, but so what happened? It's a little, in my head, my brain is, I'm not an idiot, but I'm not like super intelligent, so this is tough because, so on Mondays, I spend most of my Monday getting ready for, we have a planning meeting every Tuesday morning, our worship plan. And so we meet with the music people and all that, and we're planning for Sunday, and I go over, here's the message. And so I do that. And then on Wednesday, I go through it again. And sometimes I have some people I'll bounce the ideas off of. And then on Wednesday, we record that message. And then it's the same message, with the exception of I might change a few things, especially if I'm going to say something funny that's clearly for people who have been in the church forever. I'm probably not going to say that on for the recording. I'll save that for Sunday.
Right.
But on top of that, on Tuesday evenings, we have what we call Ask Me Anything. So if there are questions that come in about the previous Sunday's message, or really it can be anything, like when SCOTUS made their decision about Roe versus Wade, we had some questions about it. And so I answer those. So it's odd because on Monday, I'm focused on the coming week. Tuesday morning, I present it to our worship team. Tuesday evening, I focus on the previous week and the questions that came in. Wednesday, I'm back to the coming week. And sometimes my head goes all over the place. Only a couple times we've had to, I think one time we recorded a couple out of order because of, I think around Christmas and maybe even Easter, we were doing some stuff. And I started talking and all of a sudden I just stopped and said, sorry, everyone, we're going to have to start over. That is not this message. That's the message that I'm doing later tonight. And just in my head, but I got it together. So. But we just decided that's the way we were going to do it. It has worked. It's a little extra work. I think for everybody, there's a little extra work. But for me, putting it together, because it's not like when people talk about, well, you can't wait till Saturday night to put your message together. Well, I definitely can't. I have it together for the most part. I have the main ideas a week or two early and then finalize it on Tuesday to deliver it on Wednesday. And then again on Sunday. So there's a little gap in time there, but yeah, it's a little different because then we send it out on Sunday. What we record on Wednesday gets sent out on Sunday.
When you say sent out, on Facebook, there's a premiere, I think they used to call it. Is it something
like that?
Yeah,
we don't use that anymore. We just post it, and then we have our email list that we send it out to. So there's different ways.
You send a link? Is it a YouTube link?
We use
Vimeo?
Vimeo. Yeah, that's what we use. Okay. And it's also on our website. And for the most part, I believe if someone were to go to our website, probably there are times maybe as early as Thursday or Friday, you could get Sunday's message. And that's the one thing is considering the one difficult thing I had is I can talk about things that are happening in the world in the immediate time, but I also have to be aware that how people consume content. You may be watching it right away, but I may be recording it in July and you're not watching until October. And so I can't focus completely on, hey, this week, this happened or whatever. It's got to be, depending on when you're watching this, this took place and almost as a reminder of what happened, depending on when someone's watching. So
recently on another podcast that I do, I talked about this phenomena of speaking, doing evergreen messages because of the way people consume. And then I talked about the reality, though, that we're in the room with real people. Why are we going to look right over their heads at a camera when they're the ones that are there, they're in the room? And so I talked about maybe that the intro, just cutting off the intro and doing your evergreen recording that goes online, you know, it starts, you know, a minute or two in. But I would really struggle with, I'm very captured by the way you're doing it, because that answers the question that I just spent a 10-minute episode talking about. Now I feel like I got to go back and either change it or throw it out or delete it or something, because this is honestly, Chuck, I haven't heard of this before. This is new to me, and I listen to a lot of stuff, and maybe I just haven't been paying attention, and there are other churches that are doing it, or maybe you're just talking about it in a different way. And because I saw you doing it, I'm connecting with it differently, because we've been live streaming we were live streaming before COVID hit. And it's just an opportunity. If people can't make it, they can tune in online and they can see it. Now there's that tension of some people saying, yeah, but you're just allowing people to stay home because they can see everything that you see in the room. And I'm like, it's like, big whoop. So what? You know, a person convinced against their will is of the same opinion still. I'm not going to, you know, try to coerce people. If they want to come, they can come. If they don't, you know, isn't it better that at least they can peek at it and see it? And then at some point, man, I'd like to be there. But I like what you're doing. So are you finding yourself doing a lot of like a fair amount of rearranging or reworking from Wednesday to Sunday morning?
I wouldn't say a lot, but a little bit. It wouldn't be much different than a few years back. We were doing a traditional service. This is a big United Methodist thing, traditional service and a contemporary service.
Yeah.
And some of that was the same thing where, okay, this is going to resonate with this crowd. And sometimes it's just who I know is going to be in the room. This will resonate with you and you're not even going to care that I said it. So I'll switch it around. So there is a little bit of it. And every now and then, I'll be frustrated because I think, oh, what came to me in between Wednesday and Sunday, I wish I would have had that for the recording. And it's just one of those things. Oh, well.
Right.
And then
right.
We repurpose a lot of that stuff. But so when you watched it, there was a black background, I'm assuming.
Yes.
If you remember. Yep. Okay. That's not at all what our stage and everything looks like. We do that all for the video. And it's not meant to be. We're going to create a set that's a performance or anything, but we want it to look as clean as possible, as good as possible, so that And we want to make sure the audio is good because that's always key. And it's always, there are some places I know, I've watched other pastors that if they're really big and really have the equipment and, you know, i.e. the team, the money to put it all together, mm-hmm. I think it's great. You can tell I'm watching, this isn't really me going to church. This is me watching what you're doing with the people there. But for the most part, with what we have as far as the number of people, the equipment, and the finances that we have available, it almost is like we're just going to let you peek in and that's it. And it's not going to sound that great. It's not going to be that great. And some of the stuff we do just simply doesn't translate well from in the room to online. And so we decided we're just not going to do it. We had people mad. I wish I could say everyone was on board, but we had people that were... they did not like that. And I don't understand. It wasn't until we didn't tell people, we didn't make an announcement that, hey, what you're going to watch online was recorded early. People started finding out, and most people were okay with it. There were a few that just said, well, I don't like that. But you've liked it up until now. I think it's a mind thing where if church is at 10 o'clock, I want to know that I'm watching at the same time as everyone else that's in the room. And what's crazy is you can watch it at any time. When we were doing the premiere, when no one was in the building, we had a lot more people watching at the same time, which works. Now, you know, our analytics tell us, and I haven't checked on it in a while, that people are watching it some on Sunday morning, but a lot of times they're consuming it all throughout the week at any given time that just simply works for them. And so we just decided we're going to make it available in that way so that it works for you. And that seems what it works best for us. We can put together a decent production with what I'd say, what little that we do have, and it makes it work.
Yeah, but Chuck, why can't you just leave the light switch on Sunday mornings too, so that if we want to peek in, we can peek in? Do that? Why do you hate me?
I felt like we had some people that were almost saying it that way. And at first, because oddly enough, okay, so our worship service, we only have one in-person worship service right now. We might be going to two, but it's at 9:30. And we send out our email, and I believe it gets posted on Facebook and whatever at 10 o'clock. So there is a touch I don't even know if we have a reason for it. We just started doing it at 10. We kept it that way.
It's just scheduled.
It's a scheduled post. It's not a premiere. I don't even think Facebook offers that anymore, but it's just a scheduled post. We have a digital director who puts it together, gets it scheduled, goes out, everything. And then we had some people kind of asking, or at first it sounded like, well, I wish I could just watch this at the same time that everyone was there. And so I even asked one person, so are you saying you would rather just get the email at 9:30? Because honestly, if you go to the website, it's already there. You can watch it at 9:30 if you want. But it wasn't that. It's, I want to know that what you're doing right in that moment is exactly what I'm seeing. Now, no other thing in the world, except maybe sports, do you watch that way. Nothing. Nothing is live, but it was in the mindset of, but I want my church to be live in that moment.
Well, it sounds like that relationships and other people are important, and they want to know that everyone else is there at the same time. And that could also be a motivation. Well, then why don't you get your little fanny to the building, and you could be there with everybody else. Did I say fan? I don't think I've ever used that word on the podcast before. So we're doing good.
Well, that's good. Hey, we're there then. we've crossed the line. That's good. Together, we did this. There really wasn't a lot of profound thinking in a way there was with why we do it the way we do it. But at the same time, we just said, we can't put out a quality product if we try to live stream it. So rather than work our tail off and come up with all kinds of ways that give us something mediocre, how about we do our very best at recording something and then do our very best at something that's live? And it puts a little extra work on a few people and on me. I mean, obviously, then I have to do it at different times. It's not just like doing two services on a Sunday. They're separate days and everything. But
Yeah.
But it's worked, and it's we've kind of in a routine now.
I like that. I really like it. And have you found that that you do things with the Wednesday crew and with the Wednesday crowd that you're speaking to that you just think you communicate differently and you're thinking about it differently with them? And are some of them like, you know, they're at a distance and they couldn't even come if they wanted to?
I do. I try to think of now we have a target audience. And I'm always careful about sharing our target audience because it can be, it almost makes it sound like if you're not in our target, you're not the person and the age and everything, then you're excluded, which isn't true. And so I have a picture in my mind of who I'm talking to. And I know the family, and we've named the family. They have last names. We gave them a whole background, everything. And so I picture them every time. And so, yeah, I think, okay, this... what I'm going to say is going to resonate with somebody that's older. So I know that we have some older people on Sunday, so I'll use that on Sunday instead. So yeah, I do change it a little bit and kind of think that part through some. It's not a whole lot. It's not like the ideas are different. And then our digital director, she is incredible. She will take, I guess, sound bites of what we do. And she'll, at one point in time, I was telling her how wonderful, I'm like, this is great what you came up with. And it was just, it was a post about something. I go, the points that you made were awesome. And she said, I didn't come up with that. You did. I just used your message. I just rewrote it and same stuff. And people were connecting with it. And so we're able to use all that, break it up sometimes into video, sometimes into maybe not a blog, but just a reel of some kind, or it has a little post of here's, you know, a couple things you can do for whatever, to be happy, or I mean, not like that, but
yeah.
So
yeah,
it's, we use it in different ways that way. And because we're recording it, it's designed to be recorded. Then I think it comes out a little bit better.
She's made it into social media sound bites and social media posts and things like that. Yeah. So tell us about your church in terms of, you're talking about different directors. Who are the staff that you work with? Not names, but the positions and how it operates.
We have kind of a skeleton crew. We do not have an actual, quote, receptionist office person anymore. She moved, and so she still works for us as a bookkeeper, but she's completely remote. We have a what we call a connectional ministries director, and oddly enough, I will say who that is. That's my wife, Amy, who's paid a very fraction of the amount of time that she spends doing it. But pretty much, she has her hands in everything, almost anything as it connects with other ministries. She's a part of that, and then we have a part time in children and youth. And we also have a preschool childcare that we have, which is fairly large, between 80 and 100 kids, somewhere in there that we have. And then we have our what I would say our digital ministries director. And so she is in charge of pretty much anything that has, if it's digital, she's the one that does it, from sending out emails to she just started. We used to do a prayer chain. You know, somebody calls in, says, hey, I'm having surgery. And so we send out this message to a bunch of people that says, pray for so-and-so who's having surgery. Well, we decided to change that, which that got some pushback. Instead of just sending it out to 80 people, you get to connect with these people who are somewhat trained. And so you send in, I need prayer, I'm having this. Someone specific, it gets assigned to them. And this director, she's the one that does that. She assigns it to someone. And they're talking with you, you know, and then follow up. Hey, you had your surgery a couple of days ago. How's it going? You need anything? And if so, then okay, let's contact some other people. And maybe if you need some meals for a couple of days or something. So that's basically, we have our connectional ministries, a couple part-time for youth and children, and then our digital ministries, and then me. And so that's our...
Do you have any kind of custodial help at the church?
We do. I should have said that. And he kind of... we only have one, which we probably should have more than one. He kind of does the job of multiple people. Like anyone, we have staff, and every staff wears hats that are all over the place. In fact, he's one that he volunteers his time and sticks around on Wednesdays a lot of times to record. So he's one of our camera operators as well. That's funny. He enjoys doing it. So yeah,
the digital person, are they the ones that you had involved in the Art of Online Influence course?
Yes.
Okay.
And yeah, she was in, and she took a separate course as well, I believe. Or is that the course you're talking about?
That's the course. Yeah. Were you in that course, Chuck?
I was not. No.
Okay. She mentioned
I did
you.
The free one, and then she was in. Oh, you were in it.
I was in it. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah.
Yeah. Then you so know she, who that yeah, is. She mentioned you, and that's when I heard your name and started, you know, bumping around. So, you know, you're part of these different groups. For me, I'm a part of these different groups, and I look for people that would have interesting things to say to our listeners, to pastors of smaller churches. So to really get a clear idea, what is the attendance at your church looking like today? And is it really any different than it looked like 3 years ago?
It is a little bit, I'd say, I mean, we took a dip and now we're kind of coming back. So it looks very similar. We're just below, we're just below 200 right now in our in-person attendance. So on average, now summertime, there are times a year, everybody knows how that goes, but sure. We were right around the one, I believe the 170 to 185, 190 mark on average.
Perfect 200 church right there. That's the quintessential 200 church. And you're doing a great job with the digital stuff for a church that size. Chuck, where you're at right now, you've got a boom arm and you've got a microphone and all that. Normal pastors, like regular pastors, and certainly 200 church pastors don't normally have boom arms in their office or in their quote unquote studio. What do you do and how are you involved in digital ministry?
We didn't have before COVID. It was almost an immediate, all right, we've got to do this. And so I was starting to do some webinars and I just decided if we're going to do it, one of the things, and I've heard this from people, that audio is super important. And so you can always tell when you're talking to someone, they've got their, and it's not a big deal if you're just on a video call with someone, but if it's something you expect to send out, you want the audio to be good. And so I said, this is what we need to do. And I got some, I'd say fairly decent equipment and said, I want to make this good. And I have actual lights that I set up. I didn't for this, if I'm recording something like the Ask Me Anything or doing a webinar, something live or live Q&A or whatever, I'll have some lights that just kind of make it look a little bit better. And it isn't normal, but I just decided this is what we were going to do because we wanted it to be good. And I even got a stand-up desk because I don't like sitting all the time. So yeah, I'm standing. it's easier for me to communicate.
So I have my nice sit-down desk back here. And then over here to my right, I have a stand-up desk. And then over here, I've got my old little squat desk that I'll use once in a while to record. It's just handy because I got an extra monitor on it here as well. So, Chuck, you talk about these Ask Me Anything things that you do. How are those structured? How do you get the questions? Do you get them ahead of time? Is it live, recorded? How do you do that?
We just started it early in the summer. So right now, I guess depending on anybody's listening, this is July. So early in the summer, or maybe in May, 2 or 3 months ago, we started it because we were doing a whole series and we called it That's Questionable. So we looked at things like other religions, homosexuality, LGBTQ. We took some pretty big topics that even as I was preparing for it, I thought this was dumb. Why did I do this?
Those are big topics.
Those are big. And so we weren't sure. We thought maybe they would come in live. Like, okay, this is when it's, here it is. I think it's Tuesday nights at like 6:30 or something. And it got to the point where we don't have a lot of people even listening or tuning into it or whatever, logging in live. They watch it later. And I don't think we ever got one single question in the moment. They were all early. And they came different avenues. Like we have where I talked about the prayer where you can text in a prayer. It's the same number. Somebody will just text in, here's my question. Or my thought. Sometimes it has nothing to do with what we just talked about, or they may email, or sometimes even after the service, somebody will just say something to me about, this makes me think of whatever. And so we'll add that to the list and I'll say, okay, I'll address that on Tuesday. And so then on Wednesday, we send that out, I don't know, mid-morning, late morning, something like that. There's a little clip that goes on social media. And then with that, there's a link to the full Ask Me Anything, which is anywhere from 20 minutes, maybe to 30 to 40 minutes, depending on how many questions have come in. And sometimes it isn't, I will address a question that didn't necessarily come in, but it's expanding on, you know, I said this, but here's why I said it. And so I'll expand on that for a couple minutes and then move on to the next one.
So that's, you were talking about how Mondays you look ahead at the week and then Tuesdays you talk about the coming Sunday, but then, or the previous Sunday, actually, and often with this, and then on Wednesdays. And so, but you stick the Ask Me Anything on a Tuesday night just to further congest the early part of your week.
It was kind of a, when would we do it? It was a way of saying, well, we don't want to put it too late in the week because, after Tuesday, it's definitely that we're looking ahead. So we can do it Tuesday. And we might, this is one of those things, we are unapologetic about changing anything and everything we do. At first, it was, here's when we're going to do it. And, we can't change the time. We can't change anything. And I just started saying, every decision we make is permanent until it's not. That's just the way it is. And so we probably are not going to continue to necessarily do it live Tuesday nights because it's a very low audience. Sometimes not even anyone is on there. It's just me recording it. And so why wait till 6:30 to do that? I can do that at any time. And I can do it Tuesday afternoon and then it's out there. Most of the questions, rarely do they come in after that. And if they do, I can address them next week. So we're probably going to change that in the coming weeks and just to see. we've changed a lot of things. We'll do it and then say, that's great, but let's tweak it a little bit or change time structure.
So I want to talk about pastoral care, but then I also want to talk about the end of your week. So let's do the first one first, and don't let me forget about the second. But you don't seem to have a pastoral care pastor. You're pushing the 200 mark, and how are you set up to care for people that go to the hospital that maybe need counseling or just running into stuff where they just need somebody alongside of them for a little bit?
Well, I will admit everybody has weaknesses and I am horrible, horrible. I don't know you'll find a pastor that's worse at pastoral care than me. A short example, I got a call from the police department one night in the middle of the night. So it might have been 2 a.m. Definitely middle of the night. A lady had asked the police to contact me. Her husband, unexpectedly, he just died right there. And so I said, okay. And the call woke up my wife and I told her about it. And I said, well, I guess I'm not really sure what they're wanting from me. And she said, what do you think they want from you? You think they're calling you in the middle of the night just to give you some information? Like, I don't know. And they want you to go. And I said, oh, okay, well, I can do that. And so I went there. So that just tells you my default is not, it's not that I don't care. It doesn't come across. And I don't even think like, oh, you're telling me this because you want me to be involved somehow. We do have my wife, who's part of the Connectional Ministries, is in a way pastoral care. She doesn't do the visitations. We actually have volunteers that do a lot of that. And I will do some. I get away with this because Jesus did the same thing. He played favorites, and I do too. And it's not because I like people more than others, but there are certain groups of people that, okay, for example, if there's a kid and they're having something going on, I'm there, unless I just can't. Like, I'm going to be a part of that. Any of our staff, their families, some of our board leaders, and it's not because I think they're more important. It's because there's no way I can be, quote, there for every single person. And I've always said, for anyone, don't hesitate to ask me to be a part of something if you want me there. If you want to visit, if you're having a procedure and you want me there, don't feel like you can't ask because I will do it, but it's not going to be my default. I will not automatically show up. I'm pretty sure we've lost some people because of that, because it's been the idea of, nope, I stubbed my toe. You should have known it. You should have been there. And It's just not what I typically do. And so we have people that are part of that. One of the secrets, I don't know who all is going to listen to this, but sometimes people think they're getting messages from me. It's not that we try to deceive anyone, but it has my name on there. And in a way, our staff is an extension of me. So they might get a message that says it's from me. I know that it got sent, but I'm not the one that sent it. It's a way to reach out to people digitally, either text or an email. And then if it gets to be, but I really need to talk to you about something, and then whoever's dealing with that, usually our digital director, be like, you need to step in here. And so then I do, and I'll make a call and then make the visit. So pastoral care, not what I'm good at. If we had money, that's the first position I would hire, is let's hire someone who can do that. Because at 200, it's not overwhelming, but we'll never get past that. Even that is too many for one pastor to really deal with.
Yeah, and to do it well and to do other things too. Have you ever done an assessment, your personality type, anything like that?
I've done a few, and I know that's not my gift.
Give me one that you can remember. Do you remember?
I'm an Enneagram 7, if that helps.
Man, that's like the only one I don't know. Okay, I don't know the Enneagram.
7 basically means I'm a lively person, and I also I'm more of a storyteller, visionary, as opposed to administration. One of our jokes around here is that on Wednesdays and Sundays, so on our two biggest recordings, I don't pick out my clothes even. Our digital director picks out my Wednesday outfit, and my wife picks out my Sunday outfit, which sounds crazy, but I always think, and they look at what we're talking about. She looks at the lighting and the camera, and she'll say, okay, that shirt, never wear that on a Wednesday because it just doesn't work with the lights. And sometimes it'll be, you wore this, let's go with this. It's a little lighter color, and I know you're talking about something more fun. So I am super fortunate to have these people. But so that's more my personality. If you look at the colors. I think orange is if the color assessments or whatever.
Okay, I've heard a lot of color stuff, Chuck. I've never heard of orange for any of it. So
okay, or is it yellow?
We're just going to move on. Now it's yellow. Which is it, Chuck?
I think it's orange. I'm more of a. I get excited easily, and I can the stories, and I can lead you down a path, and I'll get you the big vision stuff. But if you're like, well, wait a minute, what about this part right here? And then I'll be like, that's an awesome question. I am so glad you asked me. I'm going to get an answer for you. Don't have it right now, though.
Well, that fits with what I've observed online with you. So the next one is, how do you rest? How do you take time off? I would assume your days off are toward the end of the week.
They are. Friday, and depending on Saturday, but Friday... I used to take Thursday off, and that was when I was an associate, because the senior pastor had Friday. And so Thursday was odd. I kept it that way. And finally I decided, no, I'm not going to do that, because we do the service Wednesday. Thursday is kind of a catch-up day to get everything ready. And then Friday, unless there's something critical happening, and I'll do maybe a funeral or something on Friday. If somebody says this is when it needs to be, I'm not going to tell them no.
Sure.
But Friday is definitely the day. And it's really nice if it's a Friday and Saturday that there's just nothing happening. But definitely Fridays, and then I'd say most Saturdays. It's not like my Saturdays are full.
How much on a Saturday are you preoccupied, and how much prep do you do for your message on Sunday?
You mean on Saturday?
Yeah, how much prep do you do on Saturday?
Oh, I don't do any prep on Saturday.
Do you look at it? Do you go over it?
I look at it again Sunday morning. I come in early on Sunday. And every now and then, even one Saturday, I think just a couple of weeks ago, I told my wife, I said, you know, this is weird. Right at this moment, I can't even tell you what I'm talking about tomorrow. Like, I forget even the main detail. And she said, well, you better figure it out. And I'm like, tomorrow I will look at it, and I will have my notes. I don't use a lot of notes at all. I have the scripture, and usually I write down a couple of, so in a 20 to 40 minute message, I'll have maybe 5 keywords written down just in case I get lost. I don't use notes. I try to picture every message as a story, and I'm telling the story from beginning to end, and I put it in that order in my head. And that's the way my brain works, so it works that way.
You're stressing out a lot of us right now, Chuck. We're very stressed out by this, but go ahead.
I've even had people ask, like, how did you just do that without looking at notes? And I'll show them, like, well, I can't say I had no notes. And I'll show them, and they'll be like, well, you have like five words written down. And I said, yeah, don't you remember those words? Well, maybe. I go, well, those were the key words that in my head take me to the whatever I'm doing next. And so it works for me. And so I look at it again, and then I always write out those words. That's the way my brain works. I can't type those. I need to write them out. And so I write those words out 4, 5, 6, sometimes 10 times, go over it in my head again on Sunday, and then I'm ready. But yeah, Saturday, because I've already done it. And even before that, I wouldn't spend any time. I was already done with it. It was prepared, ready to go, everything before the weekend. And then Sunday morning, I go over it again. And I probably spend altogether anywhere between, over the course of one message, probably starting a couple weeks early, getting it ready, might be anywhere from 10 to 20 hours, maybe even a little bit more. I spend a lot of time on it, which some people wonder if either, I've had people say, now, do you go up there and just wing it? I said, I don't know if that's good or bad that you think that. And they said, no, yeah. Because you just seem to have it all in your head. I'm like, okay, that's a good thing. It's not, I'm just talking off the top of my head. But so I try to spend enough time that I'm not, because I always figure if I have to keep looking at my notes, then if it wasn't even important enough for me to remember, there's no way you're going to remember it. I know that doesn't.
Do you manuscript any of it? Do you write out any of it during your prep time?
So not a manuscript, but I'll have sometimes 2 to 3 pages worth of this idea and this idea. And it'll just be talking about this. I end up throwing a lot of it out. So the first thing that I have maybe 2 to 3 pages of all this different stuff, and probably half of it ends up not even being used because some people say, well, how do you fill the time? Well, for me, I'm like, I got to take some of this out. What's the most important thing?
Yeah.
And I don't like doing more than I can't function if I try to get more than one point. Like I know the old school way was, 3 points or maybe even 5, and like, forget it. I do one. I can only remember one.
Okay. And how long are your messages generally?
They're scheduled for 25. We use Planning Center, so everything is timed out. However, yep. I go over that. It's probably 30 is probably about right.
Okay.
Sometimes a little more, occasionally a little less, but it could be anywhere between 30 and 40 probably.
From the worst care pastor on the planet, what encouragement would you like to share as we close out the episode?
Don't ever think that you have to do it all and be an expert in it all, because I truly believe a lot of people put that pressure on pastors, especially of this size, because you're the one. You're the one leading it. If I have a Bible question, you know it. And even getting ready for funerals, I've had people say, do you remember, okay, there's a verse that says, now where is that? What, you think I memorize this thing? No, I don't know the Bible, every single thing that's in there. I'll have to look it up. So, and it's okay to be just a human being. You don't always have to have the pastor hat on that says, okay, I'm well aware of everything and I've got it all together. You don't pretend you do. Just here's my gifts. I'm going to rock those out. I'm going to work on my weaknesses the best that I can, knowing that they're my weaknesses, and that's just life. But probably the biggest thing beyond that, surrounding myself with staff and volunteer leadership who are amazing. I'm not an administrator, and I have several people on our leadership board. They are. They irritate me, and I irritate them, but we wouldn't function without each other. That's for sure. That I feel like some of them would never see the bigger picture, and we would never get anything done if it was just me. It would just be all these ideas that never happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I have an associate. We laugh when we're not ticking each other off, but he's just waiting. He walks behind me just looking for the ball to hit the floor, because I'm going to drop the ball somewhere. And it's almost like his mission in life is to see it. Look, there it is. Jeff just dropped that ball.
Finally. And, now I'll pick it up.
I keep trying to convince him that that's part of his job responsibility is to be there to pick up the balls that I drop on the floor.
But yep.
He's not quite there yet. His heart is in the right place, but we'll never both get there. But we, in the same way, we couldn't live without each other, I don't think. And do a good job complimenting each other. We're not redundant. Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, that's Chuck, one of the keys for sure.
This has been good. You've given us a lot of things to think about and to scratch our heads about. For some pastors, they'll be scratching their head. And I'm going to rethink and take this fodder and throw it into the hopper with some other people and rethink how we're doing digital ministry, because what you're doing is very interesting and very, I think it's innovative. I think it's great for a church your size to be kind of leading the way in an area like that. So thank you very much. I appreciate you being on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was great.
So many great ideas from Chuck. I really appreciate him coming on the podcast. I appreciate him being open and honest with the experiments that he's doing at his church. I love how he's just acting like the whole thing is just this big, one big fun experiment. Now, if you go to newhavenumc.com and check out his messages, look at some of the older ones that were pre the set that they have now, and then look at the more recent ones, and you'll see the difference. It's just really interesting, and it really got my mind going. In fact, earlier tonight, as I'm editing this episode, I called my tech guy, and I bounced some ideas off him, and I'm technically on vacation right now. But I called him up and I said, hey, be thinking about these things. Put them in the hopper and give me your unvarnished perspective on some of these ideas. So we need to innovate. I've known this for a while. I need to change my approach to sermon prep and sermon delivery. I mean, you know, it's 2022. In fact, I opened up to my congregation this past weekend and we were talking about the church, the actual ontology of the church, what it is and how it should work and live and breathe in our current culture. And I was saying that, you know, the way we do church, the form that we use today, really not the best way. And not all of you do what I do. I'm still doing what essentially I did 30 years ago with just, you know, I've changed things up a little bit and we've got different twists and turns. But I mean, big picture, honestly, I am. And I shared with my congregation and I said, what if we just got rid of all the, we just moved these chairs around, actually, put up round tables, and everybody came in and sat around round tables. Maybe we had a little food to share, just a small meal or a snack together. We could talk with each other for a little bit, share some prayer requests, maybe pray together. I might do some teaching. We might have some worship time, and then there'd be some discussion time before you left and maybe praying for each other again. Wouldn't that be a better way to be and to worship together as the church? And I just looked at everybody and they all looked back. This was only in one service. I forgot to do it in the next service. I don't know if that was a Freudian slip or not. But I said to them, now don't answer that. You don't have to answer it right away, but think about it and we might come back to it in the future. Now, some of you are already doing that, and God bless you for either changing what you used to do or starting fresh with something new, and you're just doing something that you didn't do 10 or 20 or 30 years ago. So Chuck got my juices flowing in terms of creativity and innovation and what we can do in ministry. And Chuck Fenwick, thank you so much. We pray all the best for you and your ministry and your continued ministry there at New Haven UMC. Hey, thanks so much for being with us today. Good to be with you, and we'll catch up with you next week on the 200 Churches Podcast.